Marlena, and I want to welcome you to Marlena, right here on ACB Radio Mainstream, where for about the next 60 minutes or so, we'll be taking your calls at 1-866-666-7926. Come on in, sit down, take your shoes off, give me a call, won't you? Hello, and I am Marlena, and I am so glad that you are with me for the next hour here on ACB Radio Mainstream. Let's just get some of the housekeeping details out of the way. If you are listening to this program at any time other than Monday morning, 1 to 2 Universal, Sunday night, 9 to 10 Eastern, or 6 to 7 Pacific in the U.S., you are listening to a rebroadcast. And the telephone number of 1-866-666-7926 won't work. Due to the instabilities of technology this week, I have yet postponed bringing guests on, and so we're keeping the discussion in an open form genre, but with a focus. This week we have seen in the United States yet another devastating hurricane hitting our friends in Florida, hitting, just totally uprooting people, causing major damage. And the topic has occurred to me many times to raise on this program, perhaps not always in the venue of a storm, but certainly in the, with the perspective of a disaster, an eye toward disaster preparedness for people who are blind. Sighted people compile disaster preparedness kits, and I suspect many of that which we would put in our disaster preparedness kit as blind people would be similar, but I also suspect that there might be things that we would want differently in our kits. We already have a call, so let's bring the caller in. Hello, caller, with whom am I speaking and from where are you calling?
Good evening, Marlena. This is Rachel from the hurricane-devastated Florida.
Oh, my gosh. Rachel, how are you?
We are doing well. Just the fact that I'm calling now makes it that we did better than we did the last time around 3 weeks ago with Hurricane Charlie, because we lost phone service and power for 6 days. And fortunately, here in the Orlando area, although a lot of people did lose power, we actually only had flickers of power lost, and we did lose the phone for a little while, but it is back now. So,
what can you talk a little bit about a hurricane? You know, there are many people who've never been in a hurricane. Sadly, you have, and sadly, I have. But what is it like? What does it feel like? What happens?
You get a lot of, well, it's interesting because what starts out, you get a lot of rain, and it can spawn off tornadoes and thunderstorms and that kind of thing. And then when you get close to the storm, you know, you kind of change direction, so to speak, and you have a lot of wind and rain, but you don't get the thunderstorms, and it's just an incredible amount of energy. I know when Hurricane Charlie hit us a few weeks ago, boy, I just hate using Charlie's name in the context of a hurricane.
Yeah, I know it. I know it.
But when Hurricane Charlie hit us a few weeks ago, we kind of hung out in the hallway, and it was just this incredible amount of energy. You could just feel the wind kind of going around the house. It was not, obviously we didn't have the doors open or we would never have been able to close them, although I was tempted, but the better judgment side of me said better not do that, so I didn't. But you could just feel that force of the energy and the wind going around the house, and you could hear the roar, the low roar of the wind, and you just kind of have to wait it out, and you have sideways driven rain that really just smacks the windows, and you know it can get rather loud. And every single gust of wind, or every sustained wind, you kind of hold your breath and think, okay, what's going to fall now? And when it finishes, okay, good, nothing fell. Or then you say, okay, well, something fell. That was about the front part of the house. What could that have been? You know, so you just kind of sit and wait it out. That's about all you can do.
And what do you think, as a blind person, you need to do to kind of maximize that you have some good outcomes in something like this?
I think certainly the preparedness, hurricane preparedness kit that anybody would do. I think for a blind person, what happens is you try to get things that you might need closer to you in a storm, you know, and know it's that organization kind of thing. You know, you want to know exactly where everything is and make sure that if you have to get to it quickly that you don't just have to remember where it is, that you can have it in easy reach, because it might be difficult to get to something if you're having to go over, say, God forbid, some debris comes in the house or whatever. You know, you just really try to stay organized and as much as you can stay ahead of what you think could happen.
I remember one time when I was a little child and I was living in New England and we had a hurricane called Hurricane Edna. And boy, she came in, and I was staying with my grandparents at the time, and they lived on a huge hill, and my grandfather was off at work, and a tree blew down and blew through the roof on the house, and there it was. I mean, there was this huge piece of tree in the living room, sticking through the roof with the water pouring in, pouring around. And of course I was only like maybe five or so, but I remember trying to help and trying to help my grandmother find pans to, you know, to put under this thing and just crashing into all these stupid things that were sticking out of this tree that wasn't, of course, where it was supposed to be.
We had trees, a lot of limbs in the yard, and then that's the other aspect of it. When you have a guide dog, you know, the other thing you have to think about is taking the dog out. And when you go outside after a storm, you know, just as they say, any sighted person needs to be careful. I mean, there could be power lines down. If you don't see them, if we don't see them as blind people, or if there's dangerous debris in the yard, I mean, you have to step carefully and make sure that when you go out there with the dog that you kind of have to take that extra safety precaution.
Yeah.
Just because you don't know.
We had the same situation here when we had our major earthquake a couple of years ago. I mean, I was alone in the house. I'd never been in an earthquake, and suddenly I was in almost a seven-pointer.
Wow.
And so what do I know? You know, I just grabbed both dogs and walked outside. I could have fallen off the edge of the earth, or a gas line could have been. I mean, who knew? So that's why I wanted to have this program tonight, to kind of raise the consciousness of folks and what kinds of things do we as blind people need to consider in order that we do have good outcomes.
So you'll appreciate this, that one of the things that I kept close and nearby, God forbid I ever needed numbers, was my Braille note. You know? I figured, well, if I have to wait this thing out in the hallway, I'm going to have my Braille note. If I need numbers, I'll get that. If I have to wait this out and I get totally bored, then I have something to read with, you know? So the Braille note and the cell phone and my dog and, of course, you know, anything that we needed for the storm-related stuff that...
Sure. I was going to say, you could also look at it as, if I'm going down, I'm going to write a journal about it. You'll find it in my Braille notes. Well, Rachel, I'm sure glad you're okay. We've been really thinking an awful lot about you guys.
And, I really?
And just really glad you're okay.
Yeah, we appreciate it. I mean, it's not over yet. For the most part, it is. Orlando just really got lucky this time around, and I think certainly because of Hurricane Charlie, some of the damage that was caused in counties east and south of us, you know, we didn't get that damage because we had already gotten it with Hurricane Charlie, and there wasn't as much left to get.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, if there was one good thing that came out of the hurricane 3 weeks ago, is that we didn't get as devastated this time around. But there are certainly, you know, our thoughts and prayers go out to our friends in, I just lost it, Port St. Lucie County and Brevard County and places east of us that just really got hammered and are continuing to get hammered.
And I understand there's another storm coming. Is that true?
Yeah, unfortunately so. Ivan is out there. He's a Category 4, and we don't know because of the long, you know, it's a long ways away yet. It's way down there. It could go any number of ways, but in the it started out kind of as Francis did, so we're watching this very close. And I tell you what, that is, after being pretty much at home for the last 4 days, just waiting for this thing to just hurry up, and if she's going to come, then just do it and get out of the way, you know. But then now to hear this, you know, everybody is just like cabin fever, just ready to get out, although, you know, we really can't yet. And right now we're on a curfew. You know, we can't really, we're not supposed to be out till tomorrow.
Wow. So. Wow. Well, if there's anything we can do, let us know.
Well, we appreciate all the support. Thank you very much. And we'll certainly get out of this one, you know, hopefully. Well, so far we have gotten out of this one just as well as and better than we did Charlie's. So,
yeah,
you know, it's going to be a long hurricane season. We don't hope to see any more of these for a while. I think we're all looking forward to December 1st, to be quite honest.
Yeah, I think so. All right. Well, thanks so much, Rachel, and you stay safe.
Will do. You take care, Marlena.
Okay.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
That's Rachel Bader in giving us a live report from the hurricane area, 1-866-666-7926. What kinds of things would you, as a person who is blind, want to be sure that you had available to you in a disaster preparedness kit? Do you even have a disaster preparedness kit? How many of you have them? We have a couple of backpacks in our little kits. Well, they're not so little, actually. I can hardly lift the silly things. There's some water, and Gary the board guy could remind me of all the things in there. I can't remember them all, but each backpack, which we purchased through an organization like Red Cross or something like that, have wind-up radios so that you're not relying upon batteries. Now, you crank these little radios up, they run for half an hour, and you crank them down and wind them up again. Of course, our friend Art Bell has been selling wind-up radios on his resources for years and years and years. Tim Hendel showed me the first one I ever saw many, many moons ago. So that's not a novelty thing. But things like, you know, power bars, things like that, that are something everyone needs. But what about you as a blind person? What kinds of things would you want to see? I've got some ideas, but I'd like to hear from you. Hello, you're with Marlena. With whom am I speaking and from where are you calling?
My name is Jane Jordan. I'm calling from Cookeville.
Jane Jordan from where?
Cookeville.
And where's Cookeville?
Tennessee.
Okay.
Yes, I emailed you a while ago.
Right.
Yeah. I was calling with suggestions and thoughts for the disaster kit.
Yes.
A cane. Definitely a spare cane.
Okay.
Use those. Braille note, yes, that's good because of the addresses and phone numbers and things.
Right.
Cell phone if you have one.
Okay.
That way you can call people. Meals ready to eat or some sort of equivalent. So you have food.
Okay.
And also, my husband was just telling me that there are, like our local rescue squad apparently has, there's a list of like people who are disabled and such. And for those that need, like, that are on life support or critical, have a medical equipment that they have at home.
Sure.
They have generators that they will get out to them. And I don't know if... Okay. He says, yeah, they ought to know where people with disabilities are so that, you know, if we need assistance, they can get to us.
Oh, that's a good idea. So make sure that you notify your local rescue people that you, in fact, are a person with a disability and here's where you are.
Yes.
And maybe even what room you might be planning to wait the storm out in.
Now, that's a thought, yes. I hadn't considered that, but yes.
Yeah.
A room to wait out the storm in, yeah. Give me an idea of that.
Yeah, okay.
Anything else? I can't think of anything else at the moment. But.
Now, are you the same Jane Jordan who called me on my music show and I played a song for your baby?
Yes.
Ah, I know who you are now.
That's the one. I emailed you and you played me like Peter, Paul, and Mary.
I did, and I'll play a song for your baby anytime.
I think she appreciates that in a way.
Well, thanks. Thanks.
Oh,
so
I forgot a first aid kit.
Oh, a first aid. Now that's an interesting thing to talk about, actually. Most first aid kits are pretty inaccessible in terms of, you know.
It takes preparation. We are going to be putting mine together with labels soon. I have a Braille labeler and tape.
Okay.
And so we're going to be labeling, like, my little bottles and things so that I know what's what.
Okay, good.
And I know how to use it, you know. That's,
good.
That's important. You need to know. You not only need to have it, but you need to have it organized so you know where everything is. And this will need sighted assistance probably, and you also need some training in, you know, what to use for what.
That's right. That's right.
So
good thoughts. Well, thanks, Jane.
You're welcome.
You stay safe.
I will.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
1-866-666-7926 again if you're listening anytime other than Monday morning 1 to 2 Universal, which is Sunday night 9 to 10 or 6 to 7 in the U.S. You're listening to a rebroadcast and the number doesn't work. We're talking about disaster preparedness tonight. What kinds of things would you want in your disaster preparedness kit? I'm happy to hear so many people want Braille notes, as I'm sitting here looking at mine right now, in their disaster preparedness kit. And cane, that's a really good idea. Let's see what other thoughts we've got. Hello, you're with Marlena. With whom am I speaking and from where are you calling?
This is Danny. Pennsylvania.
Hello, Danny. What would you put in your disaster preparedness kit?
Well, I don't know where on earth to get them, but I think there's this little gadget which looks like a drinking straw and has a filter in it. And the idea is you could drink water from almost any source, and as you do it, it would be clean.
Now that is a really good idea.
But I don't know. I think it's someone told me you could actually buy them at some relatively common store, but I just can't remember where.
That is a really good idea, Danny, especially if you can't see the water you're drinking.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, matter of fact, I heard you could even have water from a puddle or gutter if you were in dire straits, you know. I think about these poor hurricane victims down there and I wonder how they're coping. I mean, I just can't imagine. You know, you want to rebuild your house, but you hear that another hurricane is coming along, and
yeah, it's. Well, did you hear Rachel call in?
No, I just tuned in,
oh.
So I didn't hear a thing.
Well, Rachel is in the hurricane area, and we had her on for about 10 minutes, and she was talking a bit about what it's been like to live there and how people are. You know, they're under curfew, they can't go out till tomorrow, you know, it's a rough time for these people right
and
now.
Probably
so.
For anyone who has a house at all still, they probably have leaks in their houses.
Sure. All right, well, let's see if somebody can find those filters for us, Danny. Maybe somebody will do a little internet search and give me a call, and we'll know by the end of the program. How's that?
All right, thank you.
All right, thanks, Danny. You have a good week and stay safe. I'm Marlena, and the telephone number is 1-866-666-7926. Let's grab this call. Hello, you're with Marlena. With whom am I speaking? From where are you calling?
Terry.
And where are you from, Terry?
Rhode Island.
Well, welcome.
Welcome.
What kind of thoughts do you have about disaster preparedness?
Oh, communication devices, like a portable TV or something like that to check the weather report occasionally.
Okay. All right. And like a TV radio maybe type thing or?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Have you ever been in a disaster?
Not really. We've had a close one, I think it was like 98, I believe.
Uh-huh.
Where, well, see, I'm 15.
You haven't been around long enough to have too many disasters, kiddo.
No. And,
what grade are you in?
I'm in ninth.
Ah, okay.
So, yeah, we've had, like, it was sort of like a hurricane, but they were thinking it was.
Uh-huh.
And they closed school and everything. The next day we didn't have any school, and it was nice and sunny. So
you were like, woohoo, bring on the disaster.
Yeah.
So do you go to public school?
Yep.
Yeah? How's that for you? How's that working out?
Oh, pretty good.
Yeah?
Yep. I haven't got my Roman speak yet, but I will be getting it from my teacher soon.
Uh-huh.
So are you live right now? Or?
Yeah, you're live. You're talking to the world.
On the internet?
On the internet.
What about a radio station?
Well, ACB Radio is an internet radio station, so right now you're talking to the world.
Where are you located in?
I'm
in the studio,
or? Yep, my studio's in Seattle.
Uh-huh.
So what part of Rhode Island are you in?
Northern Rhode Island.
Oh, okay. Okay, I asked because I grew up in New England.
Where?
All over Boston and all the way down to Worcester County.
Oh.
Yeah, I know Providence and all those places.
Yeah, we're near Providence.
Oh.
We're near Providence. But
okay.
If I walk, probably three streets, I'll be in Providence.
Oh, there you go. So what do you want to do when you get out of high school?
Actually, radio broadcast.
Well, you just need to talk to me because we can find a little place for you on ACB Radio, get you some experience.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, do me a favor.
Uh-huh.
Drop me an email. I'm going to spell my name.
All right, hold on. Let me get my brailer.
All right. See, now this is an organized kid. I hear that brailer handle go click. He's picking up the handle. He's putting his paper in. He's spacing down, and he's moving his carriage over to the left. You ready?
Yep.
All right.
How do you know what I'm doing?
Yeah, because I know those sounds. I have ACB Radio-a-vision.
All right.
Okay, my name is Marlena. It's spelled Marlaina at ACBRadio.
You know how you do an at sign?
Yeah. On a brailer. Now you're going to kill me. 2.4s, I think. Now the whole world is going to call in and tell me, you dummy, that's not right. But do 2.4s. I'll make it right for now. Marlena at acbradio.org. And just drop me an email, and I would love to talk to you about getting you as a broadcaster. We've had several broadcasters in your age range, and we like to give people a chance.
Oh, neat. So you could actually do it from right where I'm sitting now?
Yeah, right where you're sitting now.
Neat.
All right?
So, whoa. I just dropped my brother. Hello?
Yep, I'm here. Okay.
So, anytime, do you want me to email you? Or?
Yeah, just drop me an email, and then we'll chat.
What times do you want on ACB Radio?
I am on this show for an hour every Sunday night from 9 to 10 your time, and then I'm on Thursdays from 5 to 7 your time over on the interactive
Brailler.
Side. So I'm going to run so we can catch some more calls, but drop me an email, okay?
No. Okay.
All right, drop me a note. I'll look forward to it.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Oh, it's always nice to hear from new people, especially young folks. 1-866. What am I doing? Where am I going? 1-866-666-7926. Hello, you're with Marlena. With whom am I speaking, and from where are you calling?
Marlena is Joe Hartz, calling from Mount Morris, Michigan. How
Hello,
are you
Joe. I'm fine. How are you today?
I'm lovely, and it's always a pleasure to hear your voice, and hope the Gary the board guy is feeling good.
Well, you know what? It's his birthday tomorrow.
Yeah, I heard that.
Yeah. Yeah, I told everybody to send him an email, and nobody did.
Oh, they didn't? Well, I'm going to have to put him on in my account book.
That's right. So,
but, I wasn't able to hear the first part of the show, but I have been an advocate for the Americans with Disabilities Act for quite some time. And this does overlap with, disaster preparedness. And one of the things that I've long fought for has been to meet the requirements of the raised character and braille signage on every permanent room, including room numbers, that's required by the Americans with Disabilities Act.
Uh-huh.
These are modifications in the built environment that every entity of state and local government, including schools, including shelters, including hotels, including, you name it, was required to have met, you know, more than 12 years ago.
Yep.
And I don't think that blind people advocate strongly enough, you know, for the implementation of this. Now, when you're in a disaster, you're in a high-rise building, say, we'll take the extreme example of 911, you know, where people are coming down, those things are also important for sighted people.
Absolutely.
To know where they are.
To know where they are.
And you know, I can't say how strongly, you know, I suggest that we implement our resolve, you know, to fight for these modifications in the belt environment. I don't think we do it enough.
Well, you don't get any disagreement from me on that score, Joe, and I think, boy, I'm about to open up a big can of worms here, but hey, my program's only an hour and I'm a brave girl, but I think one of the biggest problems that we as blind people in general have in terms of advocating for ourselves is that we can't sit down at one table, be it NFB, ACB, whatever, and say, this is a bottom line basic. And until we as blind people can say, we ain't going without this step, man, then how do we expect anybody to listen to us?
Ma'am, I can't agree with you more.
Now, I'm probably going to get
shot. You probably felt that coming, though, didn't you?
I am probably going to get shot.
I was so proud of you and your resolution for Gary the Board Guy at the ACB convention, and that spoke legions to what we should be asking for ourselves as well.
Well, and let me be very clear. It goes well beyond ACB. I'm talking about the organized blind movement in general. We need to sit down and say, look, okay, you know what? You got your opinion here, and we got our opinion here, but we got to find some basics from which we can both proceed.
You're absolutely right. And when we're talking about public safety, and we're talking about modifications in the belt environment, you know, I do collaborate with NFB here in Michigan. You know, I've had to inform people, you know, that tactile warnings, for example, and raised character and braille signage, you know, are a part of the requirement of law.
That's right. It's not an option.
It, this is the way it is, and this is the world we live in, and you know, I'll give you a big secret here. I used to be a member and an officer with NFB, and I drafted resolutions calling for detectable warning, and I fought on floor fights, fighting for accessible pedestrian traffic signals. And I've watched NFB, you know, to be frank, modify their position. You know, they aren't all bad guys, you know.
No, they sure aren't.
They're really not.
They're wonderful people.
You betcha. And they want the best. And this does not mean that we throw away our white canes or we kill our guide dogs, you know, or abandon our skills of blindness. It's not a matter of either or, but both.
Right.
In my opinion. And I think that we can sit down and we can work together with those who want to, modify philosophy, you know, and take a look at the grand world around us and what's the, you know, what the reality is.
That's right. And you know what, Joe, I'm gonna cut you off here because I know that there'll be other people who want to call and people who want to come and shoot me. So I
and you're doing great, and I love it.
All right,
take care,
thanks so much. You have a good night. Bye bye. The number is 1-866-666-7926. Kind of spawning a whole different sort of topic, yet similar. You know, if we speak with many opinions, how do we settle on what's basic? Where do we start from go? Hello, you're with Marlena. With whom am I speaking and from where are you calling?
Hi, Marlena. It's Pam.
Hi, Pam.
Hi, Thalia. Good. I was thinking about your topic or your general topic, and yes, I second everything that you and Joe have been saying on the last call, so I won't go through it again.
Okay.
I was born and raised in Florida, and I went through some pretty intense hurricanes, certainly not as intense as Andrew and as intense as Charlie or Francis. By the way, my mother is right in the path of Francis. And she is, I talked to her Thursday night, and she was pretty tense. She's 82 years old.
Mm.
And she's been thinking about moving into a retirement community, and I think this just might do it for her, because she's in a home alone. And
not a good thing. Now, what would you put into your disaster kit?
Well, first of all, a couple things. I don't know that this is necessarily blindness-related, but one thing I was thinking, the water. You and Gary were talking about water. Well, I sure didn't realize it for a long time. But you do need to drink or get rid of that water. You cannot, as I had done, it's best not to. I had some bottled water that I filled up myself from my purified and I don't even want to tell you how long it is, but let's put it this way, it was from our last house.
There's definitely a date by which you shouldn't keep that water.
Yeah, that's what Dave says, about every 6 months. I drank a bottle a few weeks ago, and to be honest, I didn't feel like I was going to lose everything, but I was just kind of a little ugh.
Yeah.
So I got rid of all those bottles.
Yeah.
Water again. And this is a thing that you learn in Florida. Put some water in your bathtub, so that as many bathtubs as you have, because if you're probably not going to, well, if you lose your water, and you may not, but if you do, you will be able to flush. And you can also dip cloths in, you know, and wash a little bit.
Sure.
Store up some water.
Okay.
And the radio, definitely.
Yes.
Take all your plants away from the windows. If you have plants, and we're thinking more of earthquakes, as Dave said.
Sure.
But that's why I said, well, some things that people might not know if they've never been through a storm.
Sure.
Of course, the problem is that until Andrew, there hadn't been a really big hurricane in the past, in the previous 20-some-odd years.
Right.
So people were complacent. I couldn't believe my mother doesn't even have shutters.
Oh, my gosh.
I know. I think my father used to make his living selling nuts, bolts, and screws to the shutter, an awning company, and she doesn't have any shutters. My dad should be turning in his grave.
Well, I'm gonna go on that thought. We don't want to see him turn in his grave, but I want to see if other people might want to get in. The phones are really jumping tonight.
They are. Okay.
So thanks for all the good ideas.
Okay,
I love
okay.
the idea of the water in the bathtub.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
All right.
Definitely.
Thanks, Pam. Give my best to Dave.
I sure will. He's right here.
All righty.
Okay, bye-bye.
1-866-666-7926. Hello, you're with Marlena. With whom am I speaking? From where are you calling?
This is Nick from New York.
Hello, Nick from New York.
All right.
And what's on your mind?
We've only had one real hurricane. When it came up here, well, in my lifetime anyway, when it came up here, it was just a tropical storm, and it was Floyd, but it told me a few things.
Yeah,
Yeah, I learned that, as the previous caller said, that if there is anything that you need, first and foremost, you just need extra water and any non-perishable foods that you can actually get. You do need you also need like a radio or something like that. You definitely want to monitor this thing's progress if it's going to stay a while. Like Dennis did for the Carolinas back in 99.
Yeah. Yeah.
If this thing wants to stay a while. If you have a basement at all, it might bring some rain, so try to stay out of the basement unless it's more of a wind machine. In that case, you might want to get down there.
Now, what part of New York are you in?
Long Island.
Long Island. And you sound like a younger guy. You in high school?
Yes.
What year?
10th.
10th. Did you email me a while back?
That was my friend Rich.
You know what? Would you ask him to email me again? Because I had a huge computer crash. And so I don't know how to get a hold of him. And I want to follow up on his idea maybe for next week's show.
So I'll do it.
Will you ask him to email me?
I will.
I would appreciate it. So, all right. So, now what about, let's see, we went through the radio, that's kind of a given, the water, yeah, the food, yeah. But what about as a blind guy? What, I mean, like for you, just if you,
as a blind person,
yeah.
There's really nothing you can do apart from the obvious, because it's not like you're going to be venturing out with your cane.
But what if you're alone?
If you're alone, I'm not exactly positive, but I mean, this is the only thing I can, the only things I can really say are designed for anybody, to tell you the truth. Like, if the power goes out, always have a corded phone nearby.
Yep.
In case you need to ring the emergency.
Yep. Now that is, you're the first person to talk about a corded phone. Everybody talked about a cell phone, but what if the cell...
Oh, cell towers will come down.
Sure. So, hey, you're 10th grade kid, but you're pretty smart.
the towers will just come down and signal like it lost. I have no clue what a hurricane can really do, because seeing is the one in my life was a tropical storm, but I've heard stories about the large Hurricane Gloria, and I could tell you a few things from what I've heard. See, about now, this happened, of course, in 1985, and that was before my lifetime. But the weather reports for that one were spot on. They got 4 days warning, but of course, a small islanders, Long Islanders don't listen to some of the weather reports, because sometimes they have a little. Sometimes it could be a little inaccurate.
That's because you guys are stuck on that stupid Long Island Expressway. That's where you live half your life. I mean,
yeah, but well, it's great here.
Well, that's great. Well, listen, Nick, thanks so much for calling, and ask Richie to get a hold of me, okay?
I'll do that.
All right. Take care.
See ya.
Bye-bye. 1-866-666-7926. We got the cool generation checking in tonight. We got the kids from Rhode Island and the kids from Long Island, and oh my goodness gracious, it's about 40 minutes past the hour. We'll be with you till the top of the hour. If you are listening to the program anytime other than between 1 to 2 Universal on Monday, which is 9 to 10 Eastern Sunday nights in the U.S., 6 to 7 Pacific, you're listening to a rebroadcast. Please don't call, because all you'll do is ring my fax machine. That'll irritate you, and it'll irritate me. So hello, you are with Marlena. With whom am I speaking, and from where are you calling?
Rosie Gumas from Boston.
Hello, Rosie Gumas from Boston. How the heck are you?
I was surprised I got you in the first ring.
Well, there you go. It's your lucky day.
I know. I happen to be a diabetic, and nobody said anything about diabetes so far.
Very interesting.
I'd probably bring, if I had insulin, I'd take that. If I had my, I do have a tracking glucometer, so I'll take that. That would scare me more than anything.
Sure.
And then I'd have to get a good supply of sugar-free products with some, you can get that in a lot of stores, but then a lot of stores don't carry. I mean, in the Red Cross kits, they probably give you power bars, but God knows how much sugar is in there.
Now let me ask you, with all of the uncertainty that's going on right now in the world, and the terror level being raised and lowered and up and down, have you personally thought of preparing your own kind of disaster preparedness kit?
Not till tonight.
Yeah, see, we raise consciousnesses around
here.
I mean,
Charlie's not home. I wish he was to listen to this. But I think it's a fantastic idea. If Boston got hit, New York did.
Yeah, and you
9/11.
And you guys just had the Democratic convention there, and you had all that.
Yes, we did.
You had all those threats and all that trouble and all that. No one is immune from a disaster.
Absolutely not.
And give it some thought, especially being a diabetic. That's
that stuff I'd definitely bring. My Pac-Mate I'd probably bring. Everybody else mentioned Braille notes. I'm sitting right in front of my computer right now.
We'll let you bring your pack, mate, Rosie.
Oh,
it's okay.
Bang. I am a professional musician, so, you know, I don't think I bring any of that stuff. It's too much.
Yeah.
But yeah. I'd be, you know, Charlie's really into radios a lot, so we'd probably, I've never seen the wind-up radios, to be honest.
Yeah,
this is the first I've heard of them.
They're worth looking into because, you know, they play for half an hour and then you wind them up again, but at least you've got a source.
So I'd probably get in touch with the Red Cross in Boston to prepare something like that. What about one of those voice note recorder type things to you know, type a message to someone or record a message and send it or whatever?
Well, you might have some
impact made or whatever.
Yeah, you might have some difficulty sending it because you may not have internet.
Yeah, you're right.
I mean, when you think emergency preparedness, certainly don't rule anything out, but go back to basics.
Oh yeah,
you know,
by all means.
Well, all right,
I mean,
great.
911 is the, you know, I can dial that on my cell phone.
Yeah. Well, great. Well, thanks so much for calling, and give it some thought and get that kit together. You especially, with anyone with a medical necessity, should, you know, get those kits together. Hopefully, to God, you'll never have to use them, but if you do, they're there.
Thank you.
All right.
Have a good night.
You too. Bye-bye. 1-866-666-7926. I just want to remind folks, I did send this out in my announcement, but Gary, the board guy, and I will be taking a little hiatus, sabbatical, vacation, work. Not sure. It's a combination of all those things. And next Sunday will be the last live program that we will be doing until about October 24th. However, that said, stay tuned. We may pop in and surprise you in places you least expect to find us. So you just don't know. 1-866-666-7926. Let me take a quick look over here in the chat room, see if we have anyone that appears to be perhaps an international listener. And we possibly do. Let me take a break and go into the chat room and ask if there are any comments from the chat room. Now, the way this works, when I unkey the chat room, the first person who hits their right control key will be on the air. I think it's the right control key. And I would ask that you please keep your comment brief and to the point, and we'll have a little dialogue. So come on in, chat room. And while we're waiting, we'll just...
My name's Melvin in Southwest Virginia. The worst thing we was talking about...
Let me get my mic down here. Sorry about that. Now, my Melvin in Southwest Virginia. What we have is real bad floods every year, and we know what tornadoes can be like. I lived in North Carolina in Burke County when Hugo went through, and it was really bad. We had... We had all power outages, cell phones didn't work, but we had a survival kit. Like you said, we had food and we had some like pork and beans, viney weenies, and you know, little things like that, and helped us make it through it.
Oh, thanks, Mel. We appreciate that. And yeah, Southwest Virginia, they can get hammered. I lived in Virginia for about 20 years, and Southwest You guys could really get hammered. Let's see if there's anybody else in the chat room who wants to add something in at this time. And we unkey from the chat room and keep chatting on the air so that you guys on the air don't hear dead air. And we've keyed back up in the chat room. Apparently not. We've made the breaks in the chat room pretty quick so that people listening on the air over at www.acbradio.org cannot experience too much dead air. It's about about 46 minutes past the hour. The telephone number is 1-866-666-7926. We're kind of talking about a couple of things tonight. We're talking primarily about disaster preparedness and what goes in your disaster preparedness kit. Particularly as a person who's blind, I'm going to talk a little bit about my first thoughts of a disaster preparedness kit. Never really thought about one. Absolutely didn't even give it an iota's worth of thought until February 28th of the year 2000. I had been up quite late the night before finishing a proposal for a contract my company was hoping to seek, and I was really tired, and I came in here and sat in my studio office and was doing some work, and all of a sudden I said, oh man, it's 10 o'clock in the morning, I gotta go lay down, I'm really tired. So I went back to my bedroom, laid across my bed. Just as I was falling asleep, my entire bed started swinging and jumping and moving. My walls started groaning. It sounded like a freight train was coming through. I was swinging first from left to right and then top to bottom like on a big hammock. And it suddenly occurred to me, as I felt no floor underneath me, felt like I was on a trampoline, oh my God, I'm in an earthquake. And I'm alone. I've never been in an earthquake, and I'm going to die. So my first reaction, being the inane idiot that I can be at times, was to throw my arms over my head and scream, I don't want to die. I don't want to die. My two dogs, one of which is passed on now, but Madeline is still with me, went running up and down the hall, and Madeline went and got all of her toys and began to throw them at me on the bed. Patch just kept walking up and down the hall like, I wonder what this is all about. Well, I immediately reached over and turned on the radio, and I heard on the local Seattle radio station the guy saying, I am under my desk. The building is rocking. I am on the 10th floor. I don't know if we're going to get out. And I'm thinking, this is really terrible. What to do? I immediately picked up the phone, called Gary, the board guy, who had rolled from his wheelchair under a desk and couldn't really get to the phone very conveniently, but how the heck was he going to get out of the fourth floor of the Boeing Tower where he was working? And without even a thought, I picked up the two leashes for the two dogs and walked outside. As I stood there, it suddenly occurred to me, how do I know what the heck is around here? There could be a crevice in the earth. There could be a who knows what. So I started compiling things that I thought I needed to do in my house to keep me reasonably safe in future earthquakes. And one of the things that I've done is at most of my doorways, my external doors, I have a cane. It's just standing there, but it's there. I have several extra folding canes. And even though I'm a primary guide dog user, I have several extra folding canes. Every one of my bags that I carry, briefcase, backpack, whatever, has a cane in it. Even if it's one of those little skinny ID stick canes, it has a cane in it. I also made a really strong effort. We happen to live in a very friendly neighborhood to begin with. But I also made a really extra effort after the earthquake to help my neighbors understand what I might need if I needed help out of a place. For a while, and I have not kept this up, and I probably should, but for a while I had gloves in each room. Why? Well, what if, you know, walls came tumbling down, shards of glass, my hands or my eyes? I need to see. I need to protect my hands to see. I am asthmatic, and so I also kept extra inhalers around places where I might be. Just kind of little things, you know, that would help me to have a more successful outcome in the event of a disaster. When 9/11 hit, I was in an airport. I was working for the Braille Note people, and on my way, actually from Seattle down to their, it was then Loomis, California office. And there we were stuck on this airplane where they said the United States was under terrorist attack and you can't get off the plane and you just stay right here. And, of course, panic mounted on the plane. And finally they came on and they said, everybody out now. And there was nobody to help me. There was no one to say, oh, well, come here, nice little blind lady. I'll make sure you get off all right. And so my preparedness kit was then my resources, my skills of listening and following, and my innate sense that I needed to get the hell out of there as soon as possible, and a good guide dog. Those were the things that helped me in that situation. So we truly do never know where we're going to be in a disaster and what we might be called upon to do. Another instance of a disaster that I experienced on a much smaller scale, although it stayed with me for many, many years, is when I lived in the Washington, D.C. area. I was coming home from work one night on the metro, and the train struck someone. The person jumped in front of the train, and the train struck someone, and it was just awful. And we were in the tunnel part when this happened. And, of course, all the power goes out, everything stops, and there you are. Well, they wouldn't let anyone move. We couldn't do anything, and we were on this train for like 3 hours with this person beneath the train. And finally, they said, well, we can't bring any power to the train. This is the problem. If we could bring power, we could let you get out. So I stood up and I said, you know, as a blind person, I don't need power. I just need approval. And if you will let me, I will evacuate the train by feel, climb down the ladder and kind of be the leader for the rest of the people who are in the dark on the train. And for some crazy reason known not to me, they agreed to that. And so my guide dog and I walked through the cars and to the edge, and I went down the ladder backwards, feeling very carefully. And as I got down, then one by one, people came down, and there was someone at the top and me and another person at the bottom. And, you know, my guide dog and I were very integral in helping to empty those cars. So you never know what resources you may be called upon to use in a natural disaster or a man-made disaster. 1-866-666-7926. I'm going to start feeling like I'm on a public radio talkathon here. You guys don't soon call me. Next week's program, I think if Nick gets his friend Richie in touch with me, we're going to be talking about differences now and then, school differences. What was it like in school 20 years ago as a blind person versus what is it like now? How has technology helped you? What kinds of things have technological advances opened up for students that perhaps when some of us who are listening were in school were only things to dream of? The other night, let's take the call. We don't have to have a national public radio talkathon. Hello, you're with Marlena. With whom am I speaking, and from where are you calling?
Marlena, I usually wouldn't call back, but since nobody's calling, I thought I'd mention that
that my mother expressed her intention not to leave the spam again.
Yes.
Her intention not to leave the home. And so a couple of doors from her, who was busy helping her put up plywood for shutters, told her that they wanted the name and addresses of her next of kin. And she said it made her very nervous, but Dave said, no, that was a good idea. So that's another thing to think about.
Good idea. All right. Thank you, Pam.
All righty.
All right. Bye-bye. Absolutely. Make sure people know how to get a hold of the people who love you. As I was saying the other night, and again thinking about technology, I couldn't sleep, and I got up and I went to my Audible.com account, downloaded a book, and started reading it. And I thought, man, this is just very cool. Hello, you're with Marlena. With whom am I speaking? From where are you calling?
Hi, it's Sue from Seattle.
Hi, Sue from Seattle. You almost didn't make it.
I know it. Well, I was just kind of listening and hanging out. So, I think one of the things, you know, I was in the earthquake as well, keep your cell phone charged. I didn't pay attention to keeping mine charged, and I was kind of stuck. And the other thing I didn't do, and afterwards I felt really bad, I was so worried about getting myself out and, you know, getting away from the building and yada, yada. I didn't call people who were calling me worried about me. I never thought about calling my parents. I got a hold of my husband. But you kind of get fixated on just getting away from there and checking on things. And I remember being worried about our previous dog, Bear. But Bear was deaf, so when we got home, he was sound asleep on the bed, like, oh, did something happen? Hello?
Yeah.
He was oblivious.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember that earthquake well, and I remember you were also concerned about some people with developmental disabilities in your office, and I thought that was really touching that you really did think about other people, and it's hard to think about everybody.
It is, but it's scary, and at the time that the earthquake happened, our office was being the building was being refaced, so there was scaffolding all around it, you know, metal scaffolding. So the scaffolding was swaying and whacking the building as I was under my desk, so of course it amplified the sound. So I was like you. I thought, well, this is it. I'll just find me here in a big crumpled heap in the morning.
I'm gonna die.
If somebody ever finds me.
Let me chronicle my last thoughts in my braille note.
So if you can only think about if an earthquake is noisy and a hurricane must be like really scary.
A hurricane is very scary. It's roar, and it's water, and it's roar, and it just doesn't stop.
So when I saw on TV today that some people were out walking along the seawall in Florida, they must be insane.
Yeah.
They're like young guys, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway.
All right, I'm going to go. We're just about out of time.
Bye.
Thanks, bye. Thanks so much for joining me. We are just about out of time tonight, and listen next week. For who knows what. You've been listening to Marlena on ACB Radio. We'll be back next week, same time, same place. But in the meantime, if you've got an idea for a future show, why not drop me an email? The email address is Marlena, that's M-A-R-L-A-I-N-A, at acbradio.org. Thanks to Dave Williams, director of ACB Radio, and most of all, thanks to you, the listener. See you next week.
Situation in the hurricane, I guess pray that everybody gets out safe and